We all remember Rodney King saying, "Why can't we all just get along?" Many hope all denominations can one day unify. Problem is, unity without a common doctrinal basis is not real unity. There are crucial differences between the Jesus of the New Testament and the Jesus of many religious groups. Our job? To discern the true Christ among all the false ones. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on rumors about Jesus. He's in the book of Colossians, telling us about the Jesus of Mormonism, a group whose theology differs radically from that of historic Christianity.
Now, here again, you know, we're very much contrary to Mormon theology. Bruce McConkie, who's a spokesman and prophet, says that when Jesus created the world, he was aided by many of the noble and the great spirit children of the Father, such as Adam, Noah, and Joseph Smith. We're talking there about a different Jesus, it seems to me. We're not on the same page regarding Jesus. And then Jesus is the sustainer of the universe. You'll notice it says in verse 17, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." This is true scientifically. The experts tell us that even matter that we think is so solid is basically hollow. It's all those little protons and neutrons that are fiddling around there in some interesting, predictable patterns. And there are those who say that if it were not for gravity holding all these things together, why then indeed things would fly apart. Well, who created gravity anyway, this thing that operates with such terrifying consistency, which if it stopped operating, our world would be in total, complete chaos. It is Jesus who holds everything together physically. He also holds everything together historically. History makes no sense to us, but He's holding it together. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that He is moving it toward a predetermined end. History actually is going somewhere. So this Jesus is the sustainer. And you and I look at history and we think it is chaos, but God has a plan, and it's the old story, isn't it, of looking at a rug from the underside and seeing all of the threads that are in such haphazard positions and crossing one another. And yet, if you were to look at the top, you'd discover a beautiful pattern. And we believe that Jesus is holding things together. And invisible to us, most assuredly, there is a beautiful pattern that He Himself is weaving in this world. Notice also He is the Redeemer. The Bible says that He is the head of all things. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. The word firstborn again is used not in relation to time, because He's not the first one to be raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead before Jesus was raised from the dead. What it means is the firstborn, it means the preeminent one, and He's the first to be raised with a glorified body. And the Bible says that someday we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. And as a result of that, you'll notice that He is the one who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in everything, He might have supremacy. Could I say this from my heart to yours now? I want you to know today that if you understand Jesus, this universe has no room for another God. Has no room for another God. In Mormon theology, Jesus has to save Himself. McConkie again, to quote him, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He came to earth to work out His own salvation by obedience and devotion to the truth. He attained the pinnacle of intelligence, which ranked Him as a God." I actually found quotes where they said Jesus had to save Himself. Is this the same Jesus? I told you at the beginning of this message that I would have a surprise for you, and it does come possibly as a surprise that, number one, of course, the answer is no. No rational thinking person can think We believe in the same Jesus. But with that, I pay tribute to Gordon Hinckley, the LDS president, who in 1998 said in Europe, when he was responding to a question as to whether or not he believed in the traditional Christ, he said, quote, "No, I don't. The traditional Christ of whom they speak is not the Christ of whom I speak." And so it is. He is very, very right. And so I need to tell you today that, if I may quote his words in a different context, just so that you understand, you may be visiting and thinking, this is kind of a strange message. And it is a little strange, but we have to figure out what Christ we believe in. So let me simply say this without any ambiguity. I don't like ambiguity. That the Christ in whom I believe is not the Christ in which they believe. Come to two conclusions. If you want to be saved, it is not enough to believe in Jesus. You must believe in the right Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says to the people at Corinth, "I am so surprised," he says, "that you are being moved away and believing in another Jesus." And I've done some historical work to find out what kind of a Jesus they were being led away to believe in. And I won't go into that except to say this, that Jesus was so much like the real Jesus that Paul feared that the average person may not know the difference. There are many Jesuses out there, many different Jesuses. It's not enough simply to say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. Well, do you believe in Jesus who's qualified to save somebody? Do you believe in Jesus who is fully God? Because if Jesus wasn't quite God, he would be like a bridge broken at the farthest end. If there isn't one God and Jesus Christ is the revelation of that God as the second member of the Trinity coming to earth on this rescue effort that we learned about last week, if that's not the case, then what Jesus is it that you are believing in? I could list probably 20 different Jesuses in philosophies and other religions. There's a whole host of them out there. The question is, which one do you believe in? Secondly, we must believe the right things about this Jesus. We must believe the right things about this Jesus. Is this the Jesus who's actually able to bring us into God's presence, to forgive our sins, and to give us the free gift of eternal life? Is this the Jesus about whom it is said, "For as many believed in him, to those he gives the authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name"? Is this the Jesus who actually grants assurance of eternal life, that you shall know the Father? Is this the Jesus in which we believe? I have to ask you that, which Jesus? Many years ago in Portugal, I read about a story of a monastery that was 300 feet up on a cliff, perched at the edge of a cliff. And the only way to get from the bottom to the top was to have this wild ride in a basket. You'd get in a basket, and then there were some monks up there who'd pull you up. A visitor from America got into the basket, and as he looked at the rope, he noticed it was very, very frayed. And he said to the monk who was there helping him get in the basket, he said, "How often do you change this rope?" And the monk said, "Oh, well, whenever it breaks." If you get skittish about entrusting your body to a rope that might break, you'd better make sure that you're not entrusting your soul to a Christ who can't save anybody. You had better make sure that the Jesus in which you believe is, quote, the traditional Jesus. I love this Jesus. I hope that you love him too. One of the ways in which you can know that you are saved, it isn't the only way, is that if you have a genuine love for Jesus. The Bible says, whom having not seen, ye love. One day Jesus said to the disciples, he said, everybody's leaving me because I've given some hard sayings. Will you also go away? And you remember Peter's remark, Lord, we'd love to, but where in the world do we go? You have the words of eternal life. And you've heard me preach on this before. There is nobody else out there like our Jesus. Nobody. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the gardener, he's the lily of the valley. To the astronomer, Jesus is the bright and the morning star. To the therapist, he's the wonderful counselor. To the builder, he is the chief cornerstone. To the philosopher, he's the wisdom of God. To the scientist, he's the creator. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And to the politician, he is King of kings and Lord of lords, God of very gods. May I commend him to you? May I commend him to you? Would you open your heart if you've never received him as Savior and say, this is the Jesus in whom I believe, the biblical traditional Jesus, who didn't have to save himself, but who's capable of saving sinners. Stake your eternity on a Jesus qualified to save. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and if as a result of this broadcast you have accepted Jesus, you've trusted the Jesus about whom I preached, would you let us know? We are always encouraged when we hear that there are people who are being edified and saved as a result of listening to our broadcast, and we want to be able to connect with you. But isn't it beautiful, the fact that the Jesus whom we worship and serve and love is indeed the real Jesus? As I'm sitting here today recording these words, my mother will be 100 years old next month. I call her every Saturday evening because her mind is still very clear. And almost every Saturday she asks me what it is that I'm going to be preaching on the next day, and I tell her. And like I did last week, she took the verse of scripture that I said I'd be preaching on, and she quoted the next one after it. But she has always stressed in my life, please make much of Jesus. Well, I've been trying to do that in this series of messages, and always making much of Jesus. He's our Savior. We love him. I hope that you love him too.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding his message on the Jesus of Mormonism, the third message in his series on rumors about Jesus. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast, as Dr. Lutzer speaks to us about the Jesus of the New Testament. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Rumors about Jesus can be yours as a 5-message CD series, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.